I have a number of texts. We speak in terms of physical learning, secular learning, of the three R's as being basic to all subsequent learning: reading, writing, and arithmetic. They don't all begin with R, as you see, but they do convey the R sound. And they are basic to every other piece of knowledge that we shall later acquire. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. I hope that you're good at all of them. I'm better at two of them than at one of the others, and you may feel the same. But we do call the very basic things the three R's. Now, in spiritual things, we do not have three R's, we have three L's. And we have life, light, and love. We have, for example, the words of the Lord Jesus: I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have am the light of the world. God is love. God is love. It's easy to remember where it's found, 1 John 4, either verse 8 or double it to verse 16. Twice there. So, the basics, the rudiments, without which we cannot go on to the very highest levels of spirituality, to know that the Saviour is life, and the Saviour is light, and the Saviour is love. I hope you won't be better at two of them than at three of them, like I am in the three R's, but we'll have a wonderful personal experience of all of them. First of all, then, that the Saviour is life. Wonderfully encapsulated in John 1, verse 4, in him was life. That's in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. But life, life is a wonderful thing, but it's a mysterious thing. Physical life, when we get a bit older, we reflect, don't we? How did I come to be? What influence did I have on the fact that I'm existing and I'm alive and I'm kicking? Life. How did it happen? Well, we know the mechanics of how it happened and we know about it, but the actual life, the living factor without which there is no moving, there is no thinking, there is no activity. It's a mystery known only to God. He knew it from the beginning. Scientists are trying just to get hold of it. They won't, of course. But life, that power that we all know about, physical life, strength, health, movement, capacity. These are wonderful, wonderful things. They lead to pride, and they don't last forever. But life, physically, is a wonderful thing. We sometimes talk that people are dead on their feet, by which we mean that they're all right, but they're very, very tired. It's picture language. We sometimes say that people are more dead than alive. Again, it's a sort of joking sort of thing, meaning that they aren't always in touch with daily events. Sometimes we say that people are dead, really. But we don't mean they're actually physically dead. We just mean that they have no interest, they have no great life, they have no capacity for making friends, they don't want anything to do with anybody. They're more dead than they're alive, and they're just dead. But death is when life ceases. And again, that's something that is very difficult to comprehend. A living being, except in seeing others who are dead, finds it very hard to accept and to understand that living stops. Well, that's physical life. But some people know nothing of another type of life, and that is spiritual life. It's a life that is deeper than the sheer instinct of bodily life, of moving and thinking, of rationality. Spiritual life is in some ways similar. If you are born again, if you have received life from the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual life, you find yourself wondering, like we do about our ordinary life, how did it happen? Where did it start? What did I have to do with it starting? And the answer is nothing. But there is this life of the Spirit. In the Lord Jesus was life. He was there before the world was made, and nothing was made without him. But in this passage of John, it's spiritual life that is being spoken about. In him was life. In him is the capacity to impart to others a living relationship with him and with his Father, and a living relationship that goes on when the body dies, lives on in the soul forever and ever. And it's all in him. It's all for him to give. It's all for him to impart. And it was all for him to die, to pay the penalty of sin, and to spill his blood. Everything to do with life, secular, but above all spiritual, has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no beginning of progress in spiritual things without being born again, without having the imparting of spiritual life to be wedded to our natural life. Many don't have it. And there is no beginning without Christ. Hence he said, I am the way, I am the door, I am the gate. Few there be that find it. This life comes upon us, we scarcely know how. And it comes upon us by the power of the Spirit, predisposing our minds and our hearts to hearing his word. But it is through the preaching of the word, and the reading of the Bible, and the hearing and believing of the things that are there, and the taking them into ourselves, that is actually the means by which this life is implanted. There is no beginning. Despite Eastern religions, despite heathen religions. There is no beginning in real, other than deceitful, spiritual experience, other than with the Lord Jesus Christ imparting his life. He does it by a word. The first words recorded that the Lord God ever spoke, first words recorded, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, but the first words recorded are, let there be light, which is our next word. But it is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that awakens us to life. When he says, thy sins are forgiven me. And we just know in our spirit by that same word that it has quickened us. We'd heard the word before perhaps, but never applied it to ourselves. We believed that thy sins are forgiven thee, it was for other people. But suddenly, somehow, that word has quickened us. And the word quickened, of course, is the same word, means given life to. That life has come where there was no life. Thy sins are forgiven thee has brought a changed situation that never was before. And so it is with life. Whatever word the Lord Jesus Christ says to our hearts, that gives life. It gives a knowledge and a certainty and a power that was never there before. A power to know that he has given authority for our sins to be forgiven. A power that has therefore made us aware of what sins they are that need to be forgiven. A power that makes us aware of who is forgiving sins and why he has authority to forgive sins. All these things come perhaps in a moment. They're life. Perhaps they grow. For they are living. The Lord Jesus is the life of the world, spiritually, as well as its light. God gives us life through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. We begin there. However, because we are alive, physically, we may seek that life. We cannot give birth to that life, but we may seek it in a way that, of course, was not possible in our physical birth. But the living nature of our bodies means that we may seek that the Saviour would impart a like life in the Spirit to our hearts. In him was life. And the second L is light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life and light go together. Life brings light. Now, it wasn't quite so in the natural order. First words that God said because of their necessity was, let there be light. And in spiritual terms, that is always a picture of the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always a picture, if you like, of spiritual understanding. Many people, according to the scriptures, and we know it to be true, live in darkness. Now again, we know that they don't necessarily live in darkness. We don't like it in the winter when we have to go to work in the dark and come back in the dark. Most of us, I don't think, would fancy the idea of living in the Arctic where for 6 whole months it would be dark. We rather like the idea of 6 whole months it being light, but then it might not be very warm. But we understand what physical darkness is. And when we say that people are in the dark, that is picture language, isn't it? We understand what we mean. We mean that they're not privy to a secret. Things that people know, others are in the dark about. And so it is with regard to the spiritual life. Light and life go together. Life in the spirit brings light. But in the secular world or the natural world, light, you see, brings life. In the spiritual world, life, causing us to be born again, brings the light of the knowledge of the glorious gospel of truth. I am the light of the world, says the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must never forget that in spiritual terms, he has that claim. He has always been the light of the world from the very, very first day. And there is no other religion that gives light in darkness that will satisfy. I say satisfy, by which I mean all other religions that claim to give a transcendental light, some understanding, will never enable the people concerned to stand before the judgment seat of God for their sins. The light which Christ brings is the true light. The light which enables us to stand before the true God, the living God, the God who has made all things and expects perfection of his people, which they cannot give except they are in Christ, the perfect Saviour, the one without sin. The light lightens the understanding. I cannot speak how wonderful it is and how important it is to know the Saviour and to be guided by the things he taught as revealed in the scripture. We use the term revealed, which means to bring to the light of day. There is no light other than in Christ. There is no understanding. We will walk in the darkness of not knowing where we're going. We will be stumbling through life if we do not know the Saviour has forgiven us our sins and has promised us everlasting life and has vouchsafed his company to us through life by the Spirit. We will not know any of these things. And the darkness will be a thick darkness that can be felt. We'll be so afraid the nearer it gets to the day when we die. We'll be so afraid of events that might overtake us, of things that might cause this life to end. We'll be so afraid of things that we perceive to be real and are not really real. We'll run when no man chases. But the light of the glorious gospel gives us to understand that we have the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit in our hearts. That our sins being forgiven, we have his companionship. That our sins being forgiven, we may stand before God and we shall inherit eternal life. And these are the things that bring life. And above all, they bring light. To know that our sins are forgiven. To know that we may stand before God. To know that there is a life after this life. And to know that it is without sin. And to know that we shall be with the Saviour who imparts that light. All these things waken the soul and shed meaning, shed light along the pathway of the one who believes. So gross and great is the darkness of the benighted mind that we do not know what a wonderful liberating thing it is to see until the light shines in our hearts. And that is what the Lord Jesus does. We preach the gospel that he may shine his light into the heart. That he may shine and get rid of all the cobwebs, get rid of all the evils, the dark things that lurk in the hidden places of our heart. That he might clean the place up, shed light upon a dark, dusty, miserable place, and release us and set us free forever. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So life and light and love. We love him, that is the Saviour, because he first loved us. Now when John says that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, he's not talking about general love, he's talking about this spiritual love. Most people by nature, unless they are malformed, have love for certain other human beings. We understand what this is. But God is not only love in and of himself, but he imparts that love spiritually to those who come to his Son. He imparts love that they may turn to his Son. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which God's love is brought to bear in the human heart, is brought to be felt. There is nothing worse than feeling abandoned, feeling lost. When you get a bit older and you feel a bit lost, or you know you're a bit lost, you get the map out or you use your faculties. But if you've ever had the experience of being lost as a child, with no resources, you don't know where you are and who all these strange people are, and everything is wrong and you haven't got your bearings, but above all your mum isn't there, or your dad isn't there, your mum's not there, and you cry. It's a devastating experience, however brief she may. The mum may only be around the other side of a supermarket alley, but you're lost. And strange as it may seem, the child in this respect is the father of the man. For grown-ups who, not having found Christ, who not having turned to the Saviour, had no certain beacon for life, are lost. And there will be times when it comes over them, when they will know that they have no hope. They have no God in the world. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. They don't even know what's going to happen to them in a way while they're living. They have no security that they will always be looked after by the Saviour, by one supreme. We read those wonderful words, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It does apply to those whom father and mother forsake through infidelity, but it really means when mum and dad die and I'm left, the Lord will take hold of me. It doesn't mean take him up to heaven, but the Lord will do all the things that mum and dad would have done. They protect me, they keep me, he'll keep me, he protects me, he guides me, he watches over me. He's as a father to me. Without that, even grown-up men and grown-up women feel lost, overwhelmed, catastrophically cut off from all the good things of life. God is love. And the Lord Jesus portrays in all his actions in the flesh, being without sin, the fullness of that love. And we love him because he first loved us. Because he was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. The thing that was making blackness, the thing that was blighting our lives, the things that was hindering a relationship to God who alone could transform this life, was our sins. And the Saviour was sent to be a propitiation for our sins, to make up for them, to put them right, to make them good. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. This is the great, great love and light of the believer. How is the Saviour in heaven? Well, he's pleading for us. He's perfect. We are in him. And he who is perfect and now out of the world altogether, as he is, so are his people identified with him while they remain in this world. That is gorgeous. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Loved. Loved with everlasting love. Accepted in the beloved Son. And the love of God, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who have known that love, have known the forgiveness of that sin, have begun in that love, have gone on with that love, have known that that love can never change, and have known that they are secure in the love of Christ. Now, in the midst of their imperfections, in the midst of all they do, we begin with three R's. And in the spiritual world, we begin with three L's. Each of them leads on to the highest knowledge attainable by man, and love, which leads us not to be afraid even at the prospect of such changes in this world as will lead to death, and after death the judgment, is in its effect in our lives the supreme one of all. Master the three L's. And if you need to make a beginning, life and light and love, and they all come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.